Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Live from New York, it's Ian Ortley at my bright red desk. This is the show for June 29th, 2014, in New York City, and it's a beautiful day here in New York, and I went out last night, my first adventure ever. Well, I should have got my hair colored and cut on Tuesday, which I guess was my first adventure, but that one was a little tired. Now I went out last night to see my friend's show, and it was lovely, and we had a great time, and my foot's pretty happy, so I get to go out now. I'm like all excited. And I start rehab this week. So for all of you who are keeping me in your prayers, my recovery of my foot, keep me in your prayers because we're working on it and it seems to be recovering. So what we do here, hi Max. I know we're not going to get dinner just yet. Should have fed the cat. Okay, come here. Yeah, hi. That's Max. He's the other cat. He's not normally noisy, but he didn't get the right food this morning because it was Remo's favorite food, not Max's. And as far as he's concerned, that food in the bowl is completely unacceptable. So if you're finding something completely unacceptable, this is the week when you should talk about it too. Mercury is stationing this week on Tuesday. It stations to go direct at 8:50 in the morning, which means it stopped in the sky today, Sunday, and tomorrow, Monday. And then, of course, Tuesday, Wednesday. So whenever Mercury stops in the sky, or any planet stops, we have a moment in time where the universe asks us to turn and look at our life and understand things. And, of course, Mercury is actually stationing on a day where the moon is void all day, Tuesday. So we can anticipate Tuesday to be like some kind of rockin' craziness in the world in terms of weather or airplane flights or stuff like that because of the void moon all day long. But Mercury, this has been a kind of a difficult Mercury retrograde because he was retrograde in Gemini and went into Cancer, stationed at 3 Cancer, and then he went retrograde back into Gemini. So now he's stationing at 24 Gemini, and he's going to go forward back into Mercury in Cancer and then hit his shadow point on like the 15th of 20th of the month. And then go forward from there. So we're going to be leaving the shadow, which of course means we resolve the problems that Mercury retrograde brought up for us. And Mercury retrograde invites us to look at things and see them in a different way, to understand our communication skills, to understand our communication purposes, why we're here, what we're learning how to do, and learn how to communicate slightly better. It's also a great time to reconnect with the ghosts. Think of all the people in the last 3 weeks that you've seen from your past. Last night when I was at Tick, Tick, Boom, there were lots of people that, you know, I hadn't seen in a long, long time. Sometimes like 5 or 6 years, you know, or 10 years. There's a lot, we know, a little more frequently. But it's kind of understanding that, you know, you want to connect with the past. You want to connect in and resolve things and release things and process things and emotionally work with things. Because the memories, you know, very often our memories change. They shift, or what we remember isn't quite right. There's a lovely word called pentimento, which is a lot about what's the memory hold and what does it let go of and what does it save. So we watch the Mercury and we go, okay, so yesterday I had 2 sets of plans. I was going to meet some friends for breakfast, and then I was going to do the play, and my foot was really crabby in the morning, and I did my drugs, and it was a little better, and I stuck it up in the air all day long. So then by the end of the day, it was happy. Our job with the Mercury is to understand we're getting messages from our body parts, in my case, but also from the heavens about how we need to proceed and what we need to do, and also asking us to change how we think, what we think about things and why we think them, and what is our reason for thinking them. You know, it's understanding on a deeper level that there is a... But there's magic afoot. Mercury as the planet of communication, as the god of messengers, he always gives us messages. And in this case, with Gemini, they're two-sided, or they're two parts, or they're double-edged, or perhaps they have a hidden agenda in them. But the point of it is to make us think, and to make us review, and to make us check again that this is what we really want, or this is how we really want to proceed. Now, we have been having lots and lots of transits, really some really hard ones, in terms of helping us understand the reason why we've chosen the path we've chosen, and do we want to keep working on that same path, or do we want a course correction? So this next month, now that we're in July officially in one day, I guess, summer's here, yay, but also things are going to go really fast, okay, because Mars is picking up its pace, Mercury is going to be going direct, and in the 20th of July, Saturn goes direct, and Saturn has a straight shot all the way to Sag. So he is going to take us through our commitment issues all the way into December when he enters Sagittarius, a new sign. Then, of course, he gets into Sag and he's going to back up a little bit to 28 Scorpio and kind of review some stuff next year. But really, we're going to be asked this next month, month and a half, to make commitments. So the Mercury retrograde this last month, while Mars has been going direct, and they're both in trine to each other, meaning they're talking, sharing information, and communicating with us about the plans. What's the vision? What are we trying to accomplish? And more importantly, where do we want to go to do it, right? So our energy here with Mars trining Mercury, and Mercury now stationing retrograde to go direct, the two of them are talking to each other, and Venus is moving into a trine with Mars. So we're getting a lot of energy and a lot of information about, well, what is the path we want to take? The other thing that's happening this week is Jupiter's towards the back end of his sign in Cancer. He's getting ready to leave. He's at 26 Cancer, and he leaves Cancer this month and goes into Leo. So we have a shift there. We're also going to have a shift with Mercury going into Cancer. We're going to have Venus shifting, and she's going to go into Cancer, right? And then we have Mars shifting, and he's going to go into Scorpio. So this first part of the month of July is a lot about working with the existing energy that we've come to know as Saturn slows to a station at 16. And our job is to go think back to November, feels like a really long time ago, I know, and December, and the choices you were making in the spring, and think of how different your life is just since December, January, February, right, when Venus went retrograde. Remember when Venus went retrograde in January? And now I'm taking it out too much down. You're like, no, Venus retrograde, that sucked. Yeah, I know, but it got you clear. This year, we had Mercury retrograde, Venus retrograde, Mars retrograde, and now we have Mercury retrograde again. The personal planets are dancing in the heavens. They're talking to the ego. They're talking to your ego, to your sun, and they are saying, what do we have to do to make you meet your path, reach your goals, fly your life the way you want to fly it? What is not working? Where do we have to take you to get this to work? And so if we honor that that's what the planets are asking us to do, our real goal here is to sit and think, well, what actually do I want, you know? And sometimes we have to be a little expedient. We have to make a choice because we have to make a choice. Like we have to, okay, maybe this isn't the most favorite job I have, but what really is important? Maybe this isn't exactly what I want to do, but how do I get to where I'm going? And that can happen this month because the choices are being presented. We may not have things that we go, yeah, wow, that's exactly what I want, but we do have the opportunity to think about it. And then when Saturn goes direct at the end of July, it's full steam ahead. So it's still forward motion, but it's forward motion recognizing we may still change our path. So I have a lot of people that are making decisions, moving away, changing jobs, shifting, moving, not wanting to stay doing this, wanting to do that, re-enhance that, commit to this, making the plans for the future, but not actually able at this particular moment to put them in place. But what you can do is you can get ready. And that's really what this week is about. It's about the getting ready. It's the making the to-do list. The moon is in Leo today and Monday and goes void with a sextile to Mercury, which is, ooh, let's have a plan. Moon is void all day Tuesday, the day Mercury stations at 24. And then moon enters Virgo Tuesday night, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. And it goes void with a sextile to Jupiter. Moon sextile Jupiter is abundance, even if it's a moon in Virgo. Moon in Virgo sextile Jupiter is, there's an abundance of stuff to be handled. Well, there certainly is. There's abundance of this to be done. Yes, there certainly is. And the moon in Virgo has a great deal to do with getting things resolved, revised, refinished, and done. Then the moon is void in the more early morning hours on Friday, goes into Libra, which is Independence Day, 4th of July. Happy birthday, United States. It's actually not our birthday because that was when the Continental Congress met, but that's when we said, we're leaving you, O King. And the moon goes into Libra. It's in Libra on Friday, on Saturday, and it goes void around 11:30 on the 4th of July with a square to Jupiter, which is a little bit overdoing. You know, so we're going to eat a lot of food over the 4th of July weekend and maybe feel a little fat and maybe too much pina coladas or whatever. It's party weekend, definitely. When I think of 4th of July as party weekend, certainly Fire Island is party, party, land, land, go wild, have a good time. And then the moon goes into Scorpio at 3:30 on July 6th on Sunday, and then it's in Scorpio on Monday with a closing aspect, again, of a trine to Jupiter. So it's an overdoing kind of week, but overdoing in a good way, overdoing of the plan, overdoing of the vision, creative, Leo, overdoing of the planning, Virgo, really enlisting lots of partners to help with the square to Jupiter, and the moon in Libra, and then moon in Scorpio says, okay, baby, let's go. I'm ready to commit. So it's an interesting week because we're really ready, once Mercury goes direct, to be full steam ahead. And in fact, you know, it's been speeding up a little. It's been feeling a little, you know, as Mars has been zooming along in Libra, as he's going pretty fast, we've been going, wow, this is kind of, we're catching a wave, you know. So get ready for catching a wave. So this week, with the Mercury stationing, turning direct, we also have a couple of other really interesting aspects. Nothing too major. It's not like a knock-you-down, roll-you-around week like the eclipses were, but it's a planning week, okay? Sun goes from 9 Cancer to 13, 14 Cancer, allowing us to set off the T-square and the cardinal cross, whatever you want to think of it, from the eclipses. So if you go back to April... Remember April? Yeah, that was a hard month. The eclipses are getting set off again by the sun this time. Now, what happens when we have an eclipse is it forms a planetary picture in the sky, and those points remain sensitized. And then when the planets come along later in the next 6 months or the next couple years, depending on if it's a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, we watch as the planets trigger those points, and they wake them up. And then we get reminded, ooh, yeah, that eclipse. So there'll be stuff in your life that's eclipsing, and there'll be stuff that brings to light the story from April. Now, we are having a lot of changes, you know, in the news media. Diane Sawyer stepping down, a lot of shifting around of the powers and the changes of who's in charge and who's running what and why, because the Uranus-Pluto is inviting us to change, and that, of course, was in April. We're also having shifts and changes in our relationships because back in April we were at a major crossroads in our relationships as Uranus across the sky opposed Mars and then squared, and then there was an opposition from Jupiter and Pluto, and all four of them squared each other and opposed each other. So what we're having this week as the sun goes through that point is illumination. Now, Pluto is still there, interestingly. He's at 12, so he's kind of at the point where he was during the cross. The rest of the planets have all moved on. Mars is at 17, Uranus is at 16, and the Sun, Uranus is at 16, and Jupiter's way ahead of the Sun. He's in Cancer. He's zipped off. But Pluto, because Pluto's going backwards, is kind of at the same general area. And so we can expect with the Sun opposed Pluto a bit of drama, and that's actually on the 4th of July. So Sun opposite Pluto is, what actually are we trying to accomplish here, and what's our vision of how this is going to work? And then we have a lot of energy around the Sun aspecting you know, just awakening that cross, that energy of April. So you may find you're back thinking of April and the choices you made or the choices you were hoping to make, and then we're going to go, okay, forward. Mercury stations kind of quiet, and of course he's very slow, but on the 4th of July he meets important people, so make sure you go to whatever your 4th of July party is. I remember a few years back when I was younger, and I had a friend invited me to a very fancy 4th of July party that I actually went and bought a new outfit for, and I met some really, really interesting people at it because it was kind of not my normal group. So whether it's your normal group or a new group, go out on the 4th of July and meet people. Mercury has a lovely trine to the North Node inviting you to partner and party with someone new. Particularly watch for people with stuff at 24 Gemini or 24 Libra or even 24 Aquarius, 24 of something, because they're going to tie into that nodal pop. Venus, she's running from 8 Gemini to 16. The girl is moving fast, more than a degree a day, and so she's really speeding along. And she loves Gemini. She's just so happy. And she's making Mars happy, too, because she rules him. So Mars is kind of doubly lightweight. He's in Gemini, he's in Libra, and he's answering to Venus in Gemini. Hi, Remo. Hi, baby. Yeah, I know. We're going to feed you after. I know. We're going to feed you after the radio show. He's, you know, Mars is doubly lightweight. I know. We're going to feed you. I didn't put the food in the bowl. I'm sorry. This is what happens when you don't feed the cats when they expect their dinner at 6 o'clock. You're talking to a client, and then you get around on the radio show. I know. We're going to have food in a little while. Yes, we are. Yeah, that's Remo. That's the other cat. I don't know where Max went, but he sent Remo in his stead. So Venus in Gemini, ruling that Mars in Libra, has an enormous lightweight energy to her. Makes Mars really happy. Makes him very fun. He's kind of flirty, not into commitment, but into exploring options. So we're not asking you to commit this week because the energy is very non-committal, but it is about exploring possibilities. Well, maybe I'll go look at that house. So I heard from one of my clients. She had this really great house that she wanted to bid on, and somebody overbid. And I looked at it, and I said, well, it should come back. So she just wrote that it came back again, and she's kind of thinking of living there. But she, in the meantime, she lives somewhere else in Phoenix. So she's like, it's kind of out in the woods. Now that I've lived in town a little, maybe I want to live somewhere else. I know, yes, we're going to have food in a little while. So the Mars in Gemini, Mars in Libra answering to Venus in Gemini will present you with some of the choices that you had from before and a job that you were offered or a job that, you know, you thought about but you didn't take or a house you were thinking of doing. It may come back into your world or it may be presented or you may hear something and go, wow, I'm really glad I didn't take that, because Venus in Gemini is showing you the other side of the story. Now, there was a guy who used to do a radio show where he would always go, then the other side of the story is, I'm trying to remember his name, Phil something, I think, but it was, you're having the other side of the story this week with Venus in Gemini. So she has a sesquiquadrate and a semi-square to the nodes of fate on July 1st, which makes her be a little bit suspect in the information she's presenting you. So you can take it. It's, remember, Mercury stationing. You can take the job. It's a good idea. You can do the project. You can say yes. But just know, this may not be your dream job. This may be what you do for a little while until something better comes along. And you don't have to stay. You can keep looking, but it pays the bills. She also is contra-parallel. Whoops. Remo, what are you doing? Contra-parallel to Pluto on the 30th, which means she's getting a no. She's getting a no on the 30th, and or getting an offer, but it's not quite what she wants, which is okay. Then, once Mercury goes direct, Venus is now happy. Remember, Venus is in Gemini. She's answering to Mercury, right? So she's ruled by the Mercury retrograde, too, which means Mars is ruled by the Mercury retrograde. So once all this stuff shifts on Tuesday when Mercury goes direct, Venus is happy, Mars is happy. Mars, of course, rules Saturn. Saturn rules Pluto. Giant swirling mess. Everything just turns and starts to work again. And we're happy. Venus gets in conjunct to Pluto on the 3rd, which is an adjusting aspect, usually of a health nature. because it's, you know, it can be a little summer cold, but it also can just be a little indigestion or anxiety about how things are going to proceed. And then Venus has a square at the end of the week to Pallas, which helps her see things that she hadn't seen before. And remember, the planets are working to help you get conscious. They're not trying to get you, but they are helping, they are wanting you to see things so that you're current with them on what needs to happen. Mars this week, pretty quiet. Saturn this week, pretty quiet. Neptune, however, has a square to Juno on June 30th, which is some kind of change in the partnership energy with the square that invites you to do it in a different way. And so with that square, we are definitely looking at, okay, a different energy of how we're going to partner, what we're going to partner doing, and what the partnership's about, right? Now, Neptune, remember, is going backwards. He's woken up, you know, he's woken up the dream, and it's who you're going to do it with that might be changing. Doesn't mean the dream's going away, but it might be not with the person you're looking at right in the face or the person who you think is going to do it with you. It doesn't take away the dream, okay? That's the most important thing to remember. The dream is what's important. So when I went to see Tick, Tick, Boom this weekend, it was about the dream that the artist had to be seen, that I want to write music that people listen to. I want to get up every day and write a song that makes the world a better place. And whatever your dream is, this is a huge week to work on the dream, the vision, the hope, the what could it be. And Neptune, as it aspects the dream energy, invites us to come up with the next dream, the enhanced version of the dream, the expanded vision of the dream, or perhaps a change in the dream. So one of the actors that appeared had been a Broadway actress, and she had an article in the program they give you that said, you know, she realized that maybe living in New York, being a Broadway actress, wasn't a dream. And so she went off to teach in Wisconsin, where she's still doing art, where she's still creating music, but maybe not in the venue of New York City. So the dream can shift, too, with these aspects. It's allowing the dream to whisper in your ear and talk to you. And the dream does want to. And, of course, with Venus in Gemini, it's a shape-shifting dream. With Mercury changing directions, it's a shape-shifting energy. With Mars answering to Venus, it's a double. It's maybe both. It's try it. Give yourself permission. Vesta joins up with Ceres. What kind of nurturing, what kind of foundation do you need to make your dream come true? And as Vesta partners with Ceres, both of them are 21 Libra, they say, you know, every dream has to have a foundation. And I'm always reminded when I see an aspect like that of, okay, so you've built castles in the air. Put foundations under them. Our dreams invite us and call us to move forward. And this week, as the shape-shifting and the swirling energy happens, it's so much about what the dream looks like and where we're going. Juno also has, on the 4th of July, in addition to the nodes that you're meeting somebody, she has a sesquiquadrate to the north node and a semi-square to the south node. So she may say, well, I'm going to partner. Now, this week or last week, as I was talking to clients, a lot of them were like, well, I love them, and I would like to be with them, but I'm not going to wait for them anymore. I'm going to keep moving forward. And that's what I would encourage you to do this week. Move forward. Don't worry about what they're doing. Just say, let's all move forward, and you're going to figure out what you're doing, and I'm going to figure out what I'm doing. And if when we're moving forward we have a good time, great. If when we're moving forward it's not working so well, that's okay too, because we are moving forward. We're starting again. You know, I have a friend who's listing her house after her marriage dissolved and is going to sell the house that she loves. And it's okay. She's ready. She's ready to release the house. I have another friend moving away, wanting a new life, a new vision, a new hope. Great. Time to move. Go for it. Another who's decided corporate, not maybe their favorite thing. Done it, been there, done it, not happy. What makes them happy? And how do they go there, right? So our job with these transits is to allow ourselves to listen to the dream and to not control the outcome, to just feed the dream. You think you can do that? Where you say, dream, like the cats that were howling. Feed me, feed me. It's very literal, this astrology stuff. I mean, and I know the issue. There's just dry food in the kitchen. It's not like they don't have food. And it's not like they didn't have food earlier. It's just they want the wet food, and they know I bought some Fancy Feast, which they really like a lot. Although sometimes Remo eats it too fast and vomits it back up, which I'm very careful of now that I have a broken foot from cat vomit. But I recognize that they want their dream fed. They want the food in the bowl, even though the kibble's there, you know, the nice little chunky dry stuff that they both eat. But it's the dream. What's the dream? If you can sit with that space and just open to it, not control it. No controlling the room, no managing how it's going to come out. Just whispering it, letting Venus flirt with you, letting Mercury giggle with you, letting Mars dance with you, allowing the three of them to connect with your ego and your emotional nature, and having them say, you know, well, you know what the dream could be is it could be this. And you go, wow, it could be. It could be that, couldn't it? Or it could be this. Yeah, it could be that. And our job when we see that is in that permission space that we give ourselves. That's the space where we're allowed to create. Last week, Mars opposed Uranus. There was some kind of excitement, some kind of separation. Diane Sawyer leaving the news. No more girls on the news again. You know, it's all boys again. All white boys. I'm sounding a little racist and sexist. I know. But it's a separation. It's a change. It's a shift. And with Pluto coming to talk to the Sun this week, it's a shift in our understanding of power dynamics and what power is and what it looks like. It's an understanding of what's important. And it's an understanding of intent. I was reading my New York Magazine, and there was an excellent article on Ted Cruz, who is not one of my favorite politicians, for many of his stances. He's a Republican senator from Texas, and he's the one that shut down the government last fall. But, man, you read about this guy, and you go, this is a dangerous guy, I mean, from my perspective, because his politics are totally antithetical to mine. But he is very clear on his game plan. He knows what his dream is, and he is working it. And, you know, if you know what your dream is and you're working on it, it comes true, good, bad, or indifferent. And if your dream is, I'll never have my dream, that's going to happen. If your dream is, I want my dream to come true, that's going to happen. It's understanding what we focus our intent on and what we focus our belief on and what we work on, because then underneath the dream is the work that accompanies it, is how we get there. So it's about you saying, okay, what's the dream? What's the vision? How do I get there? And then opening up to possibilities, allowing there to be multiple versions of reality this week, as all these planets are in air signs. It's a pile of air. And, you know, you could go, it's all hot air, and, you know, it's like I'm a dream. I'm like, I'm totally up for hot air. Because in the hot air, we have the inspiration. It's called blue sky. It's called fly. It's called give yourself permission to expand. So that's the week. Give yourself permission to expand. Watch fireworks, eat a lot, drink a lot over the weekend. And then next week, on the week of the 7th, we have even more exciting things coming. So get ready. We're starting to take off. All the drama and trauma is over. And we are going next, baby, next. Take care. It's Ann Ortley signing off. Bye-bye.